I got a press release yesterday from the DNR that said it's not too late to identify and control invasive buckthorn. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture designates buckthorn as a restricted noxious weed. And we're going to talk this morning to Terrestrial Invasive Species Coordinator at the Minnesota DNR, Laura Van Riper. Laura, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So let's just begin. What is buckthorn?
Right. So buckthorn is an invasive plant. So it's originally from Europe. It was brought to Minnesota in the 1800s and widely planted, mainly as hedging material. It does make a very dense, thick hedge, but it's been found to be invasive. So in forests, it can grow in that forest understory. It's a small tree, a shrub to small tree, and it forms a very, very thick understory. If you've ever tried to walk through a buckthorn thicket versus walking through a Minnesota forest without buckthorn, it's much more challenging.
I'm a turkey hunter, and I go down to southern Minnesota for my turkey experience every spring, and I have learned to not try to walk through buckthorn thickets. That's not something that you would do willingly.
Exactly.
I've actually discovered some buckthorn on my property last year, one plant, and I was shocked. But it was about this time of year. I was walking along, and I saw this bush kind of back in the off the road a little bit, and I thought, what could that be? It's still green. And my brain didn't want to accept the fact that maybe buckthorn had spread to my land. But when I walked over and looked at it, I was dismayed and and energized. And I went and got my four-wheeler, and I hooked my winch around it, and I ripped it out of the ground.
And right, because that's exactly the time to start managing, when you first see those first couple plants. Once it's become a super, you know, thick area, it's much more challenging, and this time of year is, you know, like you said, a great time of year to do it. It's not the only thing that's green out there, but it's one of the major things. That you're out walking around in the fall and you see a green plant, it's definitely worth taking a closer look to see if it's buckthorn.
Yeah, so let's imagine now that our listener has been wandering around and she's found this green plant. What's next? How does she make sure it's buckthorn and not something else?
Yeah. You know, take a couple of samples, cut up a few pieces of the branches, bring those leaves back. Or if you've got a smartphone out there with you, maybe you want to pull up pictures right there if you've got an identification book. You know, take a look at some of the photos of buckthorn leaves. So they're kind of egg-shaped with very small serrations around them. And the leaf veins kind of curve around. They don't go straight to the edge like a lot of leaf veins do. They've got about three pairs of veins that curve around. Buckthorn's got black berries. And the thorn part of buckthorn is a small thorn at the tip, very short. So sometimes when people are thinking of buckthorn, they think of, you know, really big thorns like a hawthorn or an acacia tree. You know, not that big. They're at these small, pointy tips are really the thorn part of it.
Big enough, though.
Big enough to hurt.
Yeah, they'll do the job.
Yep.
So black.
Why do we want to get rid of it? Well, what happens if you don't?
Yeah, so it does form this very thick understory that can shade out and outcompete the other plants that are there. So when you start losing that native diversity of plants, you've lost those plants, and you've also lost the wildlife that is depending on them. So it has a big impact on the plant and wildlife species you'll see. Another interesting thing about buckthorn is it actually has some agricultural connections as well. It's an overwintering host for soybean aphids, which is a pest of soybean crops, and it's also a host for the crown rust fungus. That impacts oat crops. So sometimes the people will see like a bright orange fungus on it. So it doesn't seem to damage the buckthorn very much, but it can have a bigger impact on cereal crops.
So Let's say we've identified the buckthorn. We've got some. We've discovered some, and I've walked through the city of Grand Rapids, and I know there's a lot of it growing in alleyways and along the river here. What can we do as individuals? What can we do to kind of control it?
Yeah, you know, a good thing is to look at your land and, you know, get a good sense of where you have buckthorn and how much. So if you have a larger property and you've got some areas that are really nice and don't have much buckthorn yet, but have a few plants here and there, that's the place to start. It's easier to keep those nice places nice than to start in the areas that are most heavily infested. So I encourage people, if you've got areas that are just starting to get invaded, start there. Do those first. Another good place to start is by controlling the female plants. So there are male and female buckthorn plants. So the female plants that are in fruit, by getting rid of those plants, you can prevent additional seed from falling in your area. So targeting those seed-bearing plants next. And then making a plan. So buckthorn, it is a tough plant. If you cut it down and don't do anything else, it'll just resprout. So you'll end up with, you know, where you just had one stem before, and now you'll have multiple stems. So it's really important to make a plan before you start cutting. If you're cutting, you want to either cut and then apply an herbicide to that cut stump or cover the stump in some way, like with a thick black plastic or a tin can. Because if you do nothing, it'll just come back worse than you had it before.
Will a tin can work?
I like
the idea. It seems so elegant.
Yeah, well, you got to have the right size stump and the right size can.
Well, of course.
You know, so it's if you only have a few, you know, that might be an option. The DNR, when we've got larger stands to do, we're often using an oil-based triclopyr type of herbicide, and that's an herbicide that you can apply directly to the tree while it's still standing. The herbicide absorbs through the tree trunk. So you can
put
do
that,
a lot more treatments with less physical labor than versus the cutting method.
So you can put this herbicide right on the tree without having to cut the tree off and put it on the stump.
Right. You almost paint like a sock around the bottom of the tree where you're covering that bottom foot of the tree with the herbicide, and it's able to penetrate through the tree
and
kill it while it's standing.
This isn't like Roundup. This is something else.
Right. So triclopyr ester is the active ingredient. Pathfinder 2 and Garlon 4 are brand names of that type of herbicide, and they're oil-based. You can use things like water-based herbicides like glyphosate, Roundup products on those cut stumps.
They'll
work on that.
That's Laura Van Riper. She is a terrestrial invasive species coordinator with the Minnesota DNR. Can you remind us what it looks like and what we should be looking for if we don't really know?
Yeah. So go out now. Take a walk around. If you see green leaves going up, take a closer look. They're oval, egg-shaped leaves with tiny serrations around them, black berries on the plants that are female, and little points, little tips at the points of the branches. Good resources to help you identify and think about what to do with buckthorn. There are county agricultural inspectors in each county that are charged with working with people on the noxious weed law, and they're buckthorn experts. Your local soil and water conservation district often has people that can help with buckthorn issues as well.
This is Harry Hutchins, and I often join John on these Tuesday mornings, but one of the things I use a lot is that these things are sub-opposite. In other words, they're not quite opposite, but they're almost, and there's so few plants out there that are opposite that if you see something that looks pretty opposite, good chance this time of year, and it's still got green leaves, it's probably buckthorn, although you might be able to find a lilac or two that are still hanging on with the leaves. But I think, you know, that's one of the things that tits me off. And one of the things also that John mentioned is that RQ8 venation, and I think you mentioned it too, Laura, is that, you know, those veins kind of start out at the middle, the midrib of the leaf, and then curve up until you get to the tip. And, you know, it's, you know, if you look at, if you cut into the bark and you cut the stem down, especially, and you'll see that orange color in the inside the main stem of the tree. You know, those things can also be clues to you. Of course, if you've already cut the tree down and it was a buckthorn, you probably wouldn't be happy with yourself. So.
Yeah, and one thing we should mention is that there are two different species of buckthorns in Minnesota, of European buckthorns. We also have some smaller native buckthorns as well. So common buckthorn is the one that we've been describing. There's also one called glossy buckthorn that's also invasive, and its leaves are quite glossy, and it also tends to hold its leaves later, but it doesn't have that same curving vein pattern that the common or European buckthorn does. So just a heads up, there's a second one out there, too. It tends to like a little wetter areas than the common buckthorn.
One of the things John does is talk to students in schools, and they start looking for things, and they start becoming phenologists. What do you tell them about buckthorn? Are you pointing it out to them? And
you're looking at me.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Well,
yeah.
This time of year, I do the same thing Laura's talked about, and that is to tell them if you have plants growing on your property or near your property, and they're green still this time of year into November, you should go over and inspect them and look for exactly the same things. Little blackberries, thorns near the ends, that leaf shape. And in fact, there is some buckthorn growing near the local grade school. And so I take the kids out and we look at the leaves, and I point out how the veins kind of roll up and go toward the tip, the arcuate structure. And so, a lot of what they get is what we're telling other people right now. Laura, last week or 2 weeks ago, someone sent us a note saying that another way to get rid of buckthorn was to cover it with the black plastic. And I thought that was so simple and so elegant that I was repeating that. And your idea of putting a can over it. Now, just blocking off sunlight to that stem, will that prevent the tree from sprouting suckers from its roots?
You know, it seems to be variable. You know, the people I've talked to who've tried it, you know, sometimes you'll get pretty decent success. Other times you'll get roots kind of growing up out through the side. But in a lot of cases, it works. But
it's worth a try.
None of this is all 100%.
Right.
Herbicide
right.
As well. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Even with the herbicides, the Pathfinder and the Garlon.
You know, usually you get pretty good control. You know, one thing we try to emphasize is not to control in those early spring months. Herbicides tend to be less effective if you've cut the tree. A lot of the plants are moving nutrients from their roots up, and they're not really absorbing that herbicide down into the roots to really kill the tree as well. So sometimes when people have had poor success with herbicide, it's often they've tried to use it in that springtime of year when it's less effective.
So this time,
another reason fall is a great time to do control.
Perfect. All right.
That's Laura Van Riper, Invasive Species Coordinator for the Minnesota DNR. You can find more information at their website, mndnr.gov, and search for buckthorn. Laura, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks so much.
This is the Tuesday Morning Show. If you need more information, you can always call us at 800-662-5799.